You know, if you opened up your dictionary and looked up the word messy, you'd see words like this: not clean, dirty, sticky, chaotic, disordered, and confused. I mean, pretty much the exact opposite of what we need more of in life. But let's be honest, life has a tendency to get messy. And that's especially true when our culture all around us seems to be in disarray. And there may be no other place where we've gotten more out of sorts than in the area of relationships and sex. But in the midst of the mess, there's hope. Especially when we view all this through the eyes of a God who's full of grace and truth.
Do you remember the very first time you were exposed to some kind of explicit, questionable content? Something like literature or images or something like that? I do. I remember my first time. It was my very first day of first grade. I was walking home with a couple of my buddies. I can still remember their first and last names. I won't share those with you today. We were walking home, and one of my buddies said, "Hey, you want to see something cool?" I said, "Sure." And so he led me near my house. There was this huge creek. There was a tree right near my house. And he said, "Hey, go climb up in that tree. There's a hole about 8 feet high in that tree. Look down inside that hole." So I climbed up the tree and I looked down inside this hole. I was a little bit scared, but I did it. And what I saw when I looked down inside that hole was the front cover of a magazine that said Playboy. And I can still remember exactly what that front cover looked like even today. And that was getting close to 40 years ago. Is that crazy? I can also tell you this, for the next several weeks of first grade, I rushed home a little quicker than usual. I climbed up that tree so I could sneak a peek at that magazine, and then I'll never forget one day I climbed up that tree and the magazine was gone. And it never ever appeared again. I can tell you that with certainty because I looked on a regular basis. After that point in my life as a young man, my proximity and exposure to explicit images was dramatically reduced. In fact, pretty much the only time I could find these kinds of images was like when my mom would go into the kitchen to cook and I could sneak into the living room and grab the big, thick JCPenney catalog and turn quickly to the lingerie section and begin to look at some of those images. Or once a year when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue would come out and me and my buddies would go down to the convenience store and one of us would distract the person working and the rest of us would look at the pictures of these girls, what I'm saying to you is simply this. When I was growing up, and when a lot of you on our campuses were growing up, it took some effort and some ingenuity to find these kinds of images in our world. Fast forward to today, several decades later, it seems like pornographic content is everywhere. Anybody with a smartphone has a portal into the world of pornography, and whether you're just stumbling onto it accidentally or you're actually seeking it out, pornography is pervasive in our digital world, isn't it? Now, take a look at some of these statistics. You might want to write some of these down. They're staggering. 12 to 18% of all websites today are pornographic. 30% of all data transferred across the internet is pornography. 25%, one in four search engine requests or pornography related. 25%. Did you know that last year, porn sites received more visitors than Netflix and Amazon and Twitter combined? It's unbelievable. And maybe you're thinking, well, Todd, those are probably true. Those are staggering. That's kind of way out there. I'm not sure how that affects where I live. Well, take a look at some of these statistics about right where we live. Take a look at this. 47% of families say that pornography is a problem in their home. Or what about this? Between 8 and 11 years old is the average age of a child's first exposure these days to pornography. Or what about this? 90% of high school males will view pornography before they turn 18. Or one last statistic, 64% of Christian men
and 15% of Christian women say they will watch pornography at least once a month. That's right here in our campuses, in our church. And here's just what I want to say to you, CCV. We can today, on a day like this, we can just pretend that these statistics don't apply to our lives. That we can pretend they don't apply to our marriages, they don't apply to our children, because, I mean, we go to CCV for crying out loud. Most of us have stickers on our car, so we're like immune from all of this, right? Or, you know what we can do? We can be honest. We can be bold. We can be brave and address issues like this head on. And so that's what I want us to do today. I know what I'm getting ready to speak to you about is arguably the epidemic of our era. I know that porn is the messy secret that plagues the lives of far too many men and women. And I know when I deliver this message to you today, it's going to bring a lot of emotions to the surface. I'm aware of that. There's going to be some emotions of guilt and shame, some emotions of just disgust and pain across all of our campuses. And because that is true, please hear me on this. I just want you to know that I have not entered into this message lightly. I have spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer, in preparation, so I could bring this message to you today. And my whole goal is not to make you feel bad or guilty about your past. It's to make you feel optimistic towards your future, to help you see that a porn-free life is actually possible for you or for one of your kids or one of your grandkids, somebody that you really love and care about. So here's what we're going to do today. Here's how we're going to attack this. I'm going to talk about five different myths. These are lies about the world of pornography, and they're going to relate to all different ages and stages of life. So I'm going to talk about those, do my best to debunk those, and then as we wrap things up, I'm going to share with you a path to freedom from addictions and temptations like this. So let's dive in. If you're taking notes, if you have the CCV app, the very first myth is this. Pornography is a private thing and is not really hurting anyone. Now, anybody who has ever battled or become addicted to pornography has at some point adopted this erroneous mindset in order to justify their actions. To a person with a clear mind, to a person that doesn't struggle with pornography, it just seems crazy. But to someone who is trying to rationalize out-of-bounds behavior, it makes perfect sense. A lot of people justify their use of pornography saying, hey, listen, there's a lot worse things I could do. This doesn't really affect anyone. It's a private thing. It just affects me. And I just want to say to you, friends, that is incredibly naive and foolish. We live in a world where virtually everything is interconnected, and it's impossible to assume that our private behavior doesn't have some sort of public impact. Consider that pornography is a gateway to sexual escalation. What I'm saying is our private activity at some point turns into public interactions, and you give yourself at some point permission to cross boundaries that you never ever thought you would cross in your life. Case in point, this last week I was listening to a life story, to a testimony of a guy. True story. This guy has a great family, been married for more than a decade, has an incredible wife, has a couple of kids, has a great job. And one night, he and his wife got into an argument, and things got a little heated, and he decided to just leave the house angry. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't marriage shattering. He was just angry. And so he left the house, and he went to a coffee shop. True story. Not a bar, not some kind of club, just a coffee shop. Grabs a cup of coffee, sits down. A few minutes later, an attractive woman comes and sits beside him. They just start talking about things. And a little bit later, they start laughing at each other. Fast forward 20 more minutes, and he is in her car, headed to her house. Another 20 minutes after that, he finds himself in her bedroom with her having sex. And as soon as that happens, he's completely devastated. As you can imagine, he feels all kinds of guilt and all kinds of shame. And in his mind, he says to himself, how in the world do I let something like this occur? I mean, how does that happen to me? I've got a great family and a great wife. But after several days of contemplation and after spending some time with a counselor, this guy had to realize the relationship. He had to admit that there was a link between his private life and his public actions. You see, here's what had happened to him. True story. Because he had been privately viewing pornography online for many years, he had already exposed himself. He had already become very familiar with these types of scenarios where two strangers meet, have sex, and then never see each other again. He'd already become familiar with that. And so when the opportunity presented itself in a coffee shop late one night, his body simply did for the very first time what his mind had already done dozens and dozens and dozens of times. CCV, listen to this. This is so important. Write this down in your notes. Pornography is always progressive. Just know that to be the case for you, for someone you love, for someone you care about. Porn is always progressive, and what happens online will eventually move offline into our real lives. Pornography always escalates, but so does sin, so does temptation. The Bible says that. Take a look at this in James chapter 1, verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. There's an escalation to it. It starts out with just desires and then leads to sin and then leads to death. Friends, listen, don't buy into the myth that pornography is just a private thing that doesn't really affect anyone. It actually can become a very public thing that can destroy you emotionally and relationally and spiritually. Don't buy in to that very first myth. Myth number two. My desire to read or look at pornography will go away when I get married. I wish that was the case. But there's absolutely no evidence, there's no indication that when a young man and a young woman stand up on a stage and they say, "I do," that all of a sudden, magically, those tendencies and desires to look at explicit content or read explicit content just go away. In fact, some of the most devastating consequences of pornography in our lives are only often realized after a person gets married. Some of the most detrimental consequences of pornography are things like this: unhealthy and unfair comparisons. We bring comparisons into our marriage because of things we've seen. I know an increasing number of men who have real problems. This is a real problem, comparing their real-life wife to a fake woman on a computer or a tablet or a cell phone or TV or Xbox or PS3, whatever. And I know an increasing number of women who, after many years of reading erotic romance novels, can no longer be captivated and can no longer be romanced by a real life man. In my estimation of things, this isn't a scientific diagnosis, but here's what I think has happened. A lot of times these ladies have been Nicholas Sparkified. Yeah, that's some of the only humor in the whole message, so I hope you got it, okay? It's just true. Did you know that the use of the drug Viagra has skyrocketed some 312% between young men between 18 and 45 in just the last few years? And there's many theories on why that is the case. You don't see these on commercials, by the way. But one of the main reasons, and people believe this, one of the main theories is that young men who get married have been so repeatedly stimulated by pornographic fantasies, I think you know what I'm talking about, repeatedly stimulated that they can no longer be aroused by their real life wife. And so Viagra use is skyrocketing. And here's what I just want to say. Young men, young women, your unattended lustful thoughts, your desire to look at pornography or read explicit material, listen, that does not go away. It won't just magically go away the day you get married. Don't buy in to that myth and that lie. And I want to say something also to just all those who are single on all of our campuses, especially for those of you who are in junior high on any of our campuses or in high school. I get to spend time with you, and I just want to say that I am so proud of so many of you. especially our students, because so many of you have made commitments not to have sex until you get married. You've made that at camps or retreats or something like that. And again, I am so proud of you. But I also want to take this a step further and challenge you a little bit if you're single, if you're a student, because what's happened a lot of times is you have traded this idea of not having sex with a real person for going ahead and entertaining all kinds of lustful thoughts all day long, or looking at pornography online, or reading explicit material. And I just want to say to you, if you are single, I want to ask you to, I want to challenge you to fight for your purity. Fight for it. Get upset about it. Work towards it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when it comes to sexual sin and sexual temptation, that we should flee from it, not flirt with it. Because nothing does what sexual sin and temptation does to our body. It destroys us and takes us down a wrong path like nothing else does. So if I want to challenge you, if you are single, to begin to fight for your purity. And every time, realize this, singles, every time you guard your heart and guard your mind and guard your soul from explicit content, every time you say no to explicit content, you are saying yes to your future husband or your future wife. And every time you do that to your future husband or wife, here's what you're basically saying. You are saying this: I will refuse to build a video library in my head that one day you will be compared to. You're saying, I'll refuse to do that. And by the way, those of you who are single on all of our campuses, I just want you to know I'm not out of the loop on this whole thing. Studied, researched, have lots of friends who are single, and I know there is a huge pressure in our society today that you should have some kind of sexual experience when you get into a marriage. There's in TV shows, in movies, if you're single, there's a lot of pressure to come into your marriage with reasonable amounts of just experience and knowledge about sex and that sort of thing. And I just want to say to you, if you're single, that is also a lie. That is also a myth. My wife, Renee and I, we were virgins when we got married, I'll tell you that. And I'll also tell you this, on our wedding night, we had no trouble at all figuring out what to do, okay? All right? I'm just telling you this, friends. I'm telling you that the way God has made you is that you don't need a vast catalog of sexual experiences in order to experience intimacy. In fact, you know what leads to intimacy? Exclusivity leads to intimacy. Exclusivity leads to intimacy. And that leads us to our third myth, and that is pornography can spice up a stale marriage. This, again, is not true. It's a lie. I've talked to enough men and women over the past few years who have said to me, listen, here's the thing, Todd. If we trace it back, when our marriage really began to just go off the tracks is when we decided to believe this lie. They had read in novels or seen in magazines or movies, or friends at work had told them that this is a way to escape the norm or add some sizzle or really spice things up a little bit. And so they brought some level of pornography into their marriage. They thought it would help. They thought somehow it would bring some maybe some mystery, and it would kind of close the gap, and it would actually bring them closer together. But I want to tell you something, CCV, listen to this. Here's the truth. Every single time, it does the opposite. It does the opposite every single time, and here's why. Think about this. The typical narrative of pornographic sex is pretty simple. Strangers meet, they have sex, and then they never see each other again. That's the typical narrative of pornographic sex. Strangers meet, they have sex, and then they never see each other again. And I want to tell you something, that scenario doesn't work for married people. Because first of all, you have to see each other again, right? And one of the big myths about pornography is that sex is always going to be mysterious and adventurous. It's always, of course, spontaneous, ridiculously passionate, and easy. And it's a myth. This last week, I was reading on a website called Covenant Eyes. Read this little part of a paragraph that talks about just the myth of, of sex and how it works in pornography. Take a look at this. It says, pornographic sex exists in a world without hungry children or ringing phones or football games that'll be over in just 5 minutes. Sex is never postponed by fatigue or illness. It is never rejected. Foreplay is quick and painless, if not skipped altogether. It's a world where you can sleep with a cheerleader, a plumber, a teacher, a pizza delivery guy, and a police officer without discretion or consequence. There's no fear of rejection, and there's no resistance to initiation. It's easy, and it is a lie. It's a lie. It's a myth. It's made up. It's not true. Married people, listen to me for a moment. Let me read a verse to you from the Bible. It's in Philippians chapter 4. It's probably a verse that all of us are somewhat familiar with. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. For just the next few seconds, married people, I just want you to take a look at this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And let me ask you this question. Does this verse right here in the Bible describe a husband and a wife looking at pornography together? No. Friends, listen, pornography doesn't spice up a stale marriage. In fact, it does the opposite. It destroys it. Don't buy into that lie. Well, let's continue on. It's getting a little warm in here, by the way. Okay. Myth number four, kids don't start struggling with pornography until puberty. Again, in just the last 20 minutes or so of this message today, we've seen that a child's first exposure to pornography is somewhere between 8 and 11 years old. And here's what I want to say to you, just parents, so you can understand this. It's not just boys, by the way. Also girls. Girls are struggling these days to live pure in the midst of a sexually explicit culture. Just this last week, I was on an airplane flying from Tennessee back here to Phoenix so I could continue preparing and being here with you. And I was on this airplane, and I was trying to just metabolize and think through all the things I've read, all the conversations I'd had, all the things I was writing for this message this weekend. And what I did on this American Airlines flight is I just pulled out one of their little napkins that they had given to me, and I just started to write a little chart. I started to write out some ideas on how I think, how I've seen, how I've studied that pornography, it becomes pervasive in our lives. And so I wrote it out on just this little American Airlines napkin, and then I brought it home, and I gave this napkin to our tech team, to our creative team, and they came up with this, which theirs is better, so I'm gonna go with theirs today. And here's what I want to do. I think this graphic, from my experience, this shows the progression of pornography in our lives and our world. And this could apply to anyone, young or old. But parents specifically, I want you to see this today because I'm going to apply this to your kids, to sons and daughters. That's where I'm going to apply it for the next few moments. So it begins in our lives with a person getting a smartphone. The average age of a kid getting a smartphone is somewhere around 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And as soon as they get a smartphone, all of a sudden they have a portal into the world of pornography right there in their hands. And what happens when a student gets a smartphone is they begin to put these kinds of apps on the smartphone. A lot of these apps already come loaded onto the phone. But things like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Snapchat and all of these apps by themselves, none of them are pornographic apps. They're not pornographic websites at all, but they all carry a stream of pornographic content or explicit content on them. And so your student, your son or your daughter gets a smartphone. They have these apps on their phone. That's going on right now. And then what happens is this. They stumble onto pornography. Not they might stumble onto pornography. Not they could stumble onto pornography. They will. If they have a smartphone and they have these apps, they will stumble on to explicit content and links. And when that happens, and it is happening, parents, they have one of two ways they can go. First of all, they can come and confess it. They can start some communication with a parent or a friend or a youth pastor or something like that, and you can begin to set up some guardrails. There can be some conversation, and it looks something like this. Your son or daughter comes to you and says, hey, mom, a few days ago I clicked on a link, and it took me to a place, and I saw some pretty bad stuff, and you begin a conversation about it. It can go that way, or it can go this way, where your student, your son or daughter, decides not to confess it, have a conversation, and they cover it up. And they may not immediately begin stumbling on or seeking out, you know, explicit content. They may stumble onto it again and stumble onto it again. But if they stay living in this part of the graphic, they will eventually quit stumbling onto it. And they'll begin to seek it out through hashtags and certain people they know on Twitter and Instagram and such. And when they begin to do that, they'll move into this vicious circle of more, where it becomes more regular, more explicit, more secretive. More regular, more explicit, more secretive. How many of you know that our appetites only know one word? And that is the word more. And so here's what I want to say to you, parents. This is not easy to hear, but it's important. If you have a student who has a smartphone and has these apps, and you have not had some kind of communication and conversation about it, here's what I want you to know. This is where your student, this is where your kid is living. And parents, I just want you to be aware of this. And I want to say you have to fight this. Like, it's your job. And you have to begin to set up some guardrails for your family. And I want you to know that if you go to the CCV website this weekend, right on the front page, there's all kinds of resources for everyone who attends CCV or anyone about how to set up guardrails and safety nets and how to filter these kinds of explicit things in our lives. It's right on the CCV page. But I want to show you one resource specifically today. It's called x3watch.com. Would you write that down on all of our campuses? x3watch.com. This is a software. It's a free software, but there's also a paid version of this software that's really robust in blocking things. And if you would type in just the promo code CCV this weekend, you'll get 50% off that. Again, there's a free version, but there's also a 50% off this really robust software. We have this at the Clark House on our smartphones, on our tablets, on our computers, and it blocks out a lot of this stuff, and it allows you to set up accountability partners. So when my son sees something, I automatically get an email that he's been at this place or that I've been at this place. And I just want to encourage you, parents. Parents, would you do this? Would you allow this weekend to be the last weekend that explicit content streams into your house unrestricted? Would you set up some guardrails for this? And parents, would you fight this like it's your job? Because it is. Myth number five. I can't defeat this addiction to pornography. I also want you to know that that's a myth. That's a lie. From the evil one himself, from the devil himself, you can defeat this in your life. In the Bible, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And you can defeat this through the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen in a day. It's going to be a battle. But you can do it. Through Jesus and his power and strength in your life and surrender in your life to him and having him remake your mind and your body and your soul. I love this guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament of the Bible. And there's this place in the Bible in Romans chapter 7 where Paul is talking about our sin and our human nature. And we don't know that he's necessarily talking about sexual temptation specifically in Romans chapter 7, but it certainly makes sense to what we're studying today. And so I want to read this to you and just see if this makes sense in your life or someone you know. Listen to what Paul says about all this. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 17. But I need something more. For I know the law, but I still can't keep it. And the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, and then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? And then I love this. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all of my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Friends, listen, young and old, married, not married, divorced, here's what I want to say to you. You can live a life of freedom from temptations like we're talking about today and many others that plague our lives, but it's only going to happen through the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the only way it's going to happen, amen? He's the answer. He's the key. It's through Jesus in our lives and surrendering to Him. So today, how do we bring this all together? All of these things that we've talked about, the verses we've read, the things we've studied. Here's the takeaway I want to share with you today. It's very specific and very pointed. Here's the takeaway. Make a decision right now to get accountable. If you boil all of the things we've talked about down, it would look like this. Make a decision right now. Not later today, not mid this week, right now, right where you sit. I don't know even how exactly I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get accountable. And here's why I say that. Because how many of you know that accountability is the greatest enemy of pornography? It is. Accountability is the greatest enemy of pornography. And maybe you're thinking, well, Todd, I've heard about accountability. I've had people say that we need that, men and women, we need that in our lives. But I mean, how does that really happen? How does that look, especially with something as tender and difficult as this? How does that look? Here's what I want to do. I want to give you just a short path to freedom and hope in this and how you can become accountable, even this weekend, to somebody. Here it is. First of all, you admit it. You just have to admit it. That's the first step towards accountability. You admit what's going on in your life, whether it's this or whatever it is. And then you admit that to three different people. You admit it to yourself, others, and God. Yourself, others, and God. You have to, first of all, be honest with yourself and realize, you know what? This little thing that started out just as temptation has actually become an addiction. I started out just kind of stumbling onto this, and now I'm seeking it out. You got to be honest with yourself. You owe that to yourself. And then you can begin to admit it to others. And listen, folks, I'm not blind to this. I know that admitting something like this to a friend, to a pastor, to your parents, to your fiance, to your spouse, this may feel like the most difficult thing you have ever even thought about doing in years. But here's what I would say. It's better to do it now than later on when you get caught. And the chances of getting caught, especially in something like we're talking about today, are very high because, again, pornography is always progressive. What starts online eventually moves offline. And what happens is you start taking more risks. And you're not as careful this month as you were last month. And so I would say, admit it to others and realize that accountability is the greatest enemy of pornography. And then finally, admit it to God. Just come to God and admit what's going on in your life to Him. Take a look at this verse in the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, Todd, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. If we'll come to Him and admit it and confess it, He'll forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I promise you, friends, no matter who you are, when you come to God and share these things with Him, admit these, God is not going to be sitting there going, what? Are you serious? No. He knows. You're not surprising Him. He already knows. So why not go ahead and admit to Him what He already knows? So you admit it. The second thing is you engage it. You engage it. You can't just admit it and then say, well, I did it, man. That was tough. That was brutal. But I did it. Now I'm done. It's going to go away. No, you have to take action. Nothing will change in your life until you make a change in your life. You have to take action. And I know the mindset can easily be when it comes to pornography, you know what? I'm never going to defeat this. I'm never going to solve this. So why even try? And the truth is, you probably won't defeat it. You probably won't solve it in a day. or even a weekend. But CCV, here's what I would say to you. Would you allow this to be the very last weekend that this messy secret remains a secret in your life, in your family, in your home? And would you realize that when it comes to getting past pornography, it's a spiritual partnership with you and God? Take a look at this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. To this end, I labor, struggling with all of his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I labor. There's something I got to do. I have a part to play. I have to set up some guardrails for myself or my family, but I don't do it on my own strength. I do it with his energy, with his power. Realize this. Realize this, CCV. If you're ever going to get past something like pornography or some other temptation in your life, it's not going to be on your own strength. It's going to be with the power of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and your family. And so, CCV, once again, may this weekend be the last weekend that this messy secret stays a secret in your life. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for letting us gather up in a place like this and sing to you and study, read verses from the Bible, and consider things that are relevant to our world and our culture. God, thank you for a church like CCV that stands firm and doesn't shy away from real issues. God, I pray that you would give us the energy today. As we do our part, God, I pray that you would infuse us with your energy and your strength to live the victorious life that we know we want to live and that we can live through you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.